We all make them. You make them every day, don't you? Little ones, big ones. But we always make choices. I don't know about you, but I've made some pretty bad choices in my life. A lot of some regrets and things about that. But fortunately, I've made some good choices too. Probably one of my best was choosing to ask Linda Miller to marry me. That one worked out really well. But you know, as a young businessman and I was carving out my career, and as the world would look at it, I was probably thought to be fairly successful, at least on my way towards some good success and doing well. But you know, I made a choice one day when I realized there's something more to life than success. There's something called significance. Can I encourage everyone here today to begin to think a little bit differently? That maybe there's something more than what other people think you should be doing or the way other things should be, and you open your heart, you open your mind to realize that there's some choices you could make and that you can be significant, not only in this life, but in the decisions you make, that they have an impact upon others and the next generations. Averly needs you making the right decisions, so the choices that you make will really help her. She's our little screamer in the nursery. Actually, she's gotten real quiet, but she used to scream in the nursery and it used to freak me out. I'd be in my office and I'd run down there trying to help her. Choices. How you doing with your choices? Today, our church sincere heart and desires to do just four things. Number one, we desire to reach the unchurched. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to consider this church. But if not this church, we can recommend several others in this community that are life-giving churches that we'd love to introduce you to. But please understand that it's God's plan, God's will is the church. And He wants you, He needs you to be a part of it. Do you realize that when you're missing, when you're gone, we're not complete? We need you here. And if not here, you need to be at a church where God's called you. Number two, our desire is to worship God with passion. I hope you worshiped Him with passion today, or at least you noticed some people around you that were. And hopefully it's contagious, and it'll get all over you, because He is that great, and He's worthy of every bit of praise and worship we could ever come up with. Oh, He's so good. See, He's not a mean, ugly, bad God that's going to smack you down. He's not nice to you one day and mean to you another day. He's not schizophrenic. He's an altogether good God. And I love to worship Him. We want to worship with passion, and then we'd like to teach for transformation. That's the part we're going to get into right now. That what we teach here today won't just be some information, but what we teach here today will change your life. That you can take what is taught here today and you can apply it and make it work in your life and become totally transformed. God's Word says that's what we're to do, that we would renew our minds to the truth of the Word of God. We would be completely transformed, changed. That's the plan. That's the will of God. Then lastly, that with that in mind, we would get rid of our selfishness, and that we would love with action. We would serve. And that is a plan. That is a will. That is a directive that God has given this church and given all of us. I'm so glad with the bad decisions that I've made in my life that God is, number one, merciful, and I've been forgiven. Number two, I'm really glad that there's still some time left for me. Some of you look at me and go, yeah, but not much. No, there's really quite a bit of time left for me. Now, I might be a little bit beyond halftime, but remember my statement that I've made before, there's nothing less significant than the score at halftime. What's really important is how you finish. And while I'm a little bit beyond halftime, I'm not quite into the last minutes of the game. I've got a little bit of time left that I could do some things with. I can make some choices. I can make some decisions that will be right, that will be good, that will not only be a blessing for me in my life, but they'll be a blessing for others, and particularly for the next generation. My sons have spoken very kind words to me of how thankful they have been for the choices and decisions that I made before them that positioned them to be able to be and do what they're doing today. And that's a great honor, a great blessing for me as a father And I want to encourage all of us, whether it's natural fathers and mothers or spiritual fathers and mothers, decisions we make, choices we make will impact other people. Young people, you can't just blame your parents for everything. Most of the things, but not everything. You've got to be responsible and accountable for yourselves. You can make choices. You can choose to be pure. You can choose not to do drugs. You can choose not to do alcohol. I remember my wife. My wife is such a fiery, pistol type of a person, you know, personality. She just lived that way. She went to Henry Ford High School in Detroit, Michigan, right on 8 Mile, just before Eminem took over. Eminem and Linda were tight, I'm telling you. Throw it down. No, they were tight. You knew that was going to come out at some point in time, didn't you? But Linda, I remember her telling me that girls would come up to her, and they would say this to her. Whoops. They would say that to her. They'd say, "Are you telling me you're a virgin?" Like there was something really sick about her. You know what, Linda? She's not intimidated by anybody. You know what her response was? "Are you telling me you're not?" Pretty good comeback. See, we've got this mindset that the world has the answer. No, they don't. God's got the answer. God's got the answer. Today, let's start today by making good choices. Let's start today by doing what's right. And I'm not here to bring any guilt, condemnation on anybody. I know we all messed up. Aren't you glad God's merciful? Aren't you glad you got some more time left? Aren't you glad you can make some good choices from this point on? Come on, let's get on with it and make some good choices. Let's talk about it a little bit, okay? You know, God chose you. In the book of Jeremiah, talking about the prophet Jeremiah, but I believe talking about all of us, God's word records that it said, "Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb." Whoa, how's that work? Well, you've got to come to an understanding that we're spirit beings created in the likeness and image of God. That we live in a body and we have a soul, a mind, an emotion, our will. So what God was declaring there is, I knew you in the spirit. And even as your little body was being formed in your mother's womb, and that goes for all of us, even at that point in time, God knew us. And God had a plan for us. And it's a good plan. And I know sometimes we get off course with that plan, but all we've got to do is make a choice and come back on track with that plan. And that plan provides for great blessing and great peace and great fulfillment. That's where significance is found, when you begin to pursue that plan that God has only for you. And only you can live that plan out. I can't. No one else can. We're God's choice. Have you ever noticed in the scripture all the promises that God has that sort of convey this or actually say this? If you will, I will. If you will, I will. You know that great promise in Malachi 3? If you'll give the tithes, I'll pour you out a blessing. I'll rebuke the devourer. What a great promise. But it's all, if you will, I will. So what does that connote? A choice, isn't it? You can choose. You can choose to believe what that says, or you can choose not to. It's your choice. God chose you. But the question really is today, will God be your choice? Will you choose God? Look at the scripture with me in Joshua 24. This is Joshua talking. He says, if you decide that it's a bad thing to worship God, then choose a God you'd rather serve. And do it today. Choose one of those gods of your ancestors. Go worship a tree or whatever. It doesn't say that, but it's close. Or one of the gods of the Amorites. Worship Allah. Worship Buddha. Yeah. I mean, Joshua's sort of in your face here with this, I think. But then he makes this great statement. But as for me and my family, we're going to worship God, Jehovah, Creator God, the God that created the universe, the only true and the living God. As for me and my family, we will worship God. Now, this is a choice and a declaration and a bold declaration and a strong one. You and I need to understand, it It's okay to make those kind of declarations. It's okay to make that kind of choices. You don't have to put down anybody else. But I do encourage you to make this statement, no matter what anybody else says around you. No. For me and my family, we're going to choose God, the true and the living God. Do drugs if you want to. Me, I'm going to stay clean. Get drunk if you want to. But me, I'm going to stay sober. It's a quality decision. A quality decision is one from which you will not back off of. It's one that you will not compromise. It's what I call a core value decision. See, I want to encourage you, and I have before, but I want to encourage you again. Establish your core values. In other words, what's really important to you. Because when you establish your core values, it makes all your decision-making real easy. Makes it so much easier. You don't have to wonder, is this the right thing, that the right thing? When you look at it in relationship to your core values, what you really believe, it makes decisions easy. Let me give you an example. Many of you sitting here today could use some more money, and you'd like to make some more money. Let me restate that. I don't know whether you want to work for it or not, but you'd like to have more money. But for most of you, and I'm really at this point hoping all of you would at least look at your core values and say, yes, I want more money, but I'm not going to sell drugs, I'm not going to pimp my body, I'm not going to go steal, I'm actually going to stay true to my values. Now, I hope that's true for all of you. But you know, that's a choice, isn't it? And people make choices. You make choices, I make choices every single day. Small ones, big ones. And they not only affect us, they affect others. They affect our children. They affect those around us. They affect our friends and our family. Got to make the right choices. But here's what I really want to get across this week. And we'll get into a little bit more even next week on some very practical areas. I really want to encourage you to be conscious, be cognizant of your choices and the decisions you make. Don't just let life come at you and just sort of react to it. No, put it on hold, pray, and respond to it. There's a difference between reacting and responding. So oftentimes we just bounce through life and it's like we're a ball in one of those pinball machines. We're just getting flipped back up and then let in the hole and boom, you get shot out. And no, you choose. You decide. If you don't like the way things are now, change. You know, one of the great challenges that people face is when they realize that when they take their own life into their own hands, there's a problem with that. There's no one left to blame. Today, let's be responsible for our own lives. And let's stop blaming others. I want to declare to you, as I do regularly, you're not a victim. You may have been victimized, but you are no longer a victim. You can choose to stay in a victim mentality. You can choose to stay in a lack mentality. You can choose to stay in your funky attitude all the rest of your life, but some of us are getting a little tired of it. He said with a nice smile on his face. How many of you have ever done this? I've done it. But how many of you have ever done it? You woken up and you had a bad attitude. You know why? You just woke up and you had a bad attitude. Maybe you didn't sleep good. Maybe the dogs next door barked all night long. Inside joke on the dogs that live next to me. You woke up and you're funky. You're just grouchy. Bad attitude. And immediately, your immediate family realizes, ooh. Stay away from her, stay away from him, bad attitude. And you'll even say, hey, sorry, I got a bad attitude. And you'll live the rest of the day in that. Hello? As my granddaughter would say, hello, what were you thinking? I mean, it's just, why would we do that? But we make a choice. We make a decision. I'm in a bad attitude. What is it about? You know what it's really? It's selfish. Come on, slap yourself in the face before I do. I mean, telling you, it's really selfish. It's really about us, isn't it? And our little bad attitude. Oh, woe is us, woe is me. guys, listen to me. We got to change. And you know what? It's just a choice. You're only an attitude away from being the person God called you to be. Hello? It's really true. It's a choice. It's just a choice. I want to talk to you specifically about three things today, maybe four, and then next week we'll take on three or four more. I want to talk to you about your words. Proverbs 18:21 says it this way. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. You remember that little slogan that we used to say, and we found out later it wasn't true. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Boy, nothing farther from the truth than that one, is there? How many of you have ever been really scarred by words? You've really been wounded. You've really been stabbed. You've really been hurt by wounds. I have. Words are powerful. Life, death, those are the power of our words. Choose the words you speak. May I encourage you today that you arrest your words? You know, the Word of God says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So really it starts with guarding our heart, doesn't it? Because the Word of God says, again, out of it flow all the issues of life. But we have a control that we can. Even when something's been stirring in our heart, we can put the lid on it and get rid of it and ask God to forgive and help us to get that out of our hearts so we don't go there. But may I ask you to do this? Value your words. And be known as a person of your word, but even more so, be known as a person who's an encourager. This week, what if every one of us, instead of speaking anything negative, instead of speaking anything bad, instead of putting people down and making fun or doing whatever we might do, what if we spoke words of encouragement to one another? What if we spoke words of encouragement all throughout ConocoPhillips this week? What if we spoke words of encouragement at Starbucks so that I would be encouraged, so where I live? Words of encouragement. Guys, it's what God would want us to do. We need to be encouraging others. Words give life. Words give death. Let's choose life. The second area I want to talk to you about are your thoughts. Heard an old preacher say it this way. He said, you know, Roger, forgive me. I just looked up, saw you, and thought of you immediately. This old preacher had this statement. He said, you know, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, even landing on your head, but you can keep them from making a nest there. You understand, don't you? Thoughts are going to come, but you don't let them have to stay there. You've got to take those thoughts captive. Look at what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We capture every thought, say every thought, and make it give up and obey Christ. Or in other words, we make it obey, submit to the Word of God. We take it to the Word of God. We take that thought and we put it to the Word of God and we say, is that thought in line with God's Word or not? Because God's Word is truth. Even if that thought may be factual, a factual thought has to submit to a truthful thought. The ultimate truth, the ultimate authority is God's Word, and you and I need to take our thoughts of lack, our thoughts of fear, our thoughts of torment, our thoughts of perversion, our thoughts that aren't right, and we've got to take them to the truth of God's Word and see how they stand up. And if they don't line up, what are we supposed to do? Cast them down. If they do line up, embrace them. Meditate on them. Chew on them over and over and over again. Let it come alive inside of you. Our thoughts are important. So this week, can I encourage you? Don't just let any thought hang around. If it's not a good thought, kick it out. Get rid of it. Make it go. You see, but it doesn't want to go. No, you want it to stay. Come on, somebody, let's get real. Well, I know I shouldn't think this, but come on. Come on. Let's look ourselves straight in the mirror and let's realize God didn't make us to think that way. God didn't make us to have those kind of thoughts. Let's take them captive. You know, God's will for you is to have peace and to have joy. And when you have thoughts that torment, they're not of God. Fear, according to Scripture in 1 John chapter 4, fear has torment. But the perfect love of God, it says it drives it out. Fill yourself up with the perfect love of God. Meditate upon how good He is. Worship Him. Praise Him. You know what's going to happen? You're going to change. Here's a fundamental point to all of this. In dealing with our thoughts, it's our attitude in relationship to being thankful. Are you thankful today? No, are you thankful today? We ought to be thankful with the veteran piece that we showed today. Wasn't that powerful? Tell somebody produces a better one, we're going to use that one every year. I love our veterans. I love our military. I'm thankful for America. Linda called me Friday. She's on the border of Burma and Thailand, getting ready to go into back to Bangkok and then on to Bhutan. John, I don't know if you've heard from her, but your wife, that they're doing well. But Kathleen was really touched by the little children there that have been so abused. We have a lot to be thankful for in America. But with all of that we're to be thankful for, we also have a lot of responsibility. Let's stand up and let's be right, let's do right. That's really what this is all about. That's really what choice is all about. It's to encourage you to stand up, be right, and do right. It's not complicated, it's not difficult. The third area I want to talk to you about is this area about thoughts. And it starts with what I said to you a moment ago about being thankful. I'm sorry, I said thoughts. I meant attitude. I'm sorry, I already covered thoughts. Attitude. Let's look at attitude for a minute. And the fundamental point, I believe, for having the right attitude is being thankful. Are you thankful for the life that you have today? Not everybody here is thankful for the life they have today. Well, here's a fundamental thought for you let me just throw it out there. It's either that or I'm going to come down and slap you. So I'll just throw this idea. Life is a gift. It's not an entitlement. Too many of us, too often, think that we're entitled to life. We're entitled to various elements of life. Really? Really? What gives you that idea? What if you had been born halfway around the world and at 9, your parents sold you into sex slavery, like the little girls that Linda and Kathleen were ministered to this week? Well, what if when you were a little kid, your parents just abandoned you and let you go and you're on your own the rest of the time and nobody holds anybody accountable? See, you don't have it that bad. Not in America. The worst day in America is a whole lot better than some other people's best day. Come on, somebody. Slap yourself. Pinch yourself. Do something. Wake up here a little bit. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be mean or unkind. I'm just telling you, let's get real. Let's put some things in perspective. You're not entitled. Life is a gift. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, life's a gift. Life's a gift. Life is a gift. Guys, in a moment right now, it could be your last breath. Value it. Appreciate that you're able to breathe today. My dear friend Lily Sue back here has got difficulty breathing, but she's still breathing and she's still thankful. You know what she said to me today? I said, listen, it's so great to see you here today. She's got oxygen going. She made it here. As far as I know, she's the only one that's had to have some oxygen assistance to be here today and to breathe through the service. But you know what? She's got a smile on her face and she hugged me and she said, oh, I miss being in church. It's so good to be here. She is thankful. Can you say thankful? Attitude. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23 says, be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh... A fresh mental and spiritual attitude. You know, there's a aeronautical term about attitude. And the attitude when you're flying a plane is the relationship of where you are to the horizon. And then there's two terms that follow that, basically, nose up and nose down. And what I want to encourage all of you to do is fly pretty even here, maybe a little upward, but make sure you got enough power to carry you on. You ever talk about somebody who's stuck up or they're a snob? Almost thought of another word, but we shouldn't use that. But they got their nose in the air. You know what? If you get your nose up in the air too high on a plane, you know what's going to happen? It's going to stall. You're going to fall like a rock. It's not the way a plane should go, is it? But that's what will happen. Pride is what does that for us. We'll analogize that to us. When we get our nose in the air, we're a big deal. Watch out. Watch out. It's coming down. But the other one probably is more us. That's having that woe is me, funky, nose down attitude. You are going to land really fast, and it's not going to be a pretty landing. Actually, it's called a crash. But that's what's going to happen. You're going down. Why? Because you're nose down. You got to have an attitude that's right. Say attitude. I had someone tell me this week, and please, I'm going to preface this ahead of time, give you my disclaimer. You'd think I was an accountant, Emily. Don't you love those disclaimers accountants give you? By the way, all the financial data that you're going to read here, we have no claim of responsibility for anything in it, of it, about it, or whether. However, we just charged you $15,000 to review this, and so on. That's what they do to you, accountants. Don't get me started. We'll go on attorneys next, and then we really got a deal. But this person came up to me, and they said, you know, would you pray for me? They think I'm bipolar. I said, really? I said, well, I'm tripolar. I am. I've got the Holy Ghost, the Father, and the Son buzzing around inside of me. I am just polarized in every different way. I'm this way, I'm that way, I'm every way. Now, I'm not making light, I'm not making fun, but listen to me. We got to categorize everything. We got to identify everything. When I, on my blog this week, I talked about my aunt trying to get me to learn the 23rd Psalm when I was a little kid. And she had this like little vacation Bible school thing going. It was in the summertime, and windows were open. It was nice outside, and I want to go play. And so she was trying to get me to learn it. My cousins were doing real good, but I wasn't, because I wanted to go play. Now, today, they label me of ADD. He's got ADD. He's not paying attention. Are you kidding me? I was a kid. I want to go outside and play. No ADD. Now, come on. We got enough psychobabble going around for a lifetime. Now, hear me. I appreciate doctors. I appreciate medicine. I appreciate the fact that there are people that have real issues. Can I tell you this, though? It's not God's plan for you to stay there. Remember last week's message that Scott gave? If you haven't, pick up a CD as you go out. That you may be in a valley. You may be in a valley where that's going on, but can I tell you something? That's not where God wants you to live. He wants you out of that valley, and he wants you on to the next mountaintop experience that he has for you, and he has set you free. God's word says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You don't need to be in bondage to diagnosis. You don't need to be in bondage to medication and drug influence and drug-induced way of living. That's not God's plan. You say, you know what? Antidepressant medicines are probably as dominant in the church as out of the church. That ought not to be. For me, in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And by the way, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I said the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not depressed. Come on, somebody. Can I ask you a question? What in the world should a believer be depressed about? How can you be depressed? Well, life's been hard. Get over it. Life is life. It happens. Life happens. Get on with it. We'll help you here in this church. My encouragement to you, find somebody in this church that you can pray with, someone you can share with, someone you can that can encourage you, someone that you can receive from. We need each other. You don't have to go this alone. Don't feel like you got to fight all this off yourself. No, you don't. God's here to help you. We're here to help you. attitude, so important. Your attitude is your choice. Put it in perspective. Viktor Frankl, a Nazi concentration camp survivor, couldn't break him down and have a bad attitude. He was joyful. He would not be antagonized and come against the Nazi terrorists, the Nazi guards that were beating them and abusing them and starving them. He makes this statement. He said, the last of human freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. I want to close with this today. What will you allow to form or shape you this week? The world around you or the word within you? What are you going to allow to shape you this week? Because there'll be pressures from this world this week. There'll be compromising opportunities for you this week. There'll be situations where you can get despondent and depressed. There'll be things that will cause you to become angry. Are you going to allow them to rule you, or are you going to allow the word to form you and come out of you? And be that patient person that God called you to be. To be that joyful person God called you to be. To be the peaceful person God called you to be. Can I say something to you right now? It's a choice. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Let God come alive inside of you. I think there's a whole world out there waiting to see the believers with some joy. Waiting to see the believers with some peace. Waiting to see somebody that looks like they're enjoying life. Are you enjoying life? Or are you enduring life? Come on, God didn't call you to exist. God called you to live. Jesus said in John 10, I've come that you have life and have it to the full. Abundant, joyful, peaceful. Oh, come on, people. There's such an attitude perpetrated among our young people. Let's speak to this row right here. You're excluded. You should. What are you doing in this row? I'm going to speak to the rest of the people in this row and a couple in the front. Sorry, Jess. Nice try. Guys, listen to me. There's such an attitude perpetrated upon you by music and videos that is just portrays this gloominess, this dark side, this heavy side of, and that's what's cool. I want to tell you something. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You know what's cool? A smile that just can't stop, that comes from ear to ear. And you know why you ought to have that and all the rest? It just, why don't you guys start this, you young people, and just embarrass the daylights out of the adults that don't smile. You ought to have a smile from ear to ear. Why? God loves you. Jesus is your best friend. Nobody's mad or angry at you. They care about you. God loves you so much. I love that picture of God that we see when we talk about that story of the prodigal son. And the moment that prodigal son makes one turn the right direction and starts heading the right way, you know what God does, as reflected by the story of this father? He starts running towards him with his arms open. Come on, son. This picture of God being mean and hard, that's religion. I haven't told you I hate religion, but it's religious. God loves you. God's got a great life for you. It's a choice. Let me close last thing with this. Where are you going to spend heaven? Where are you going to spend heaven? Where are you going to spend eternity? Where are you going to spend heaven? Boy, that makes a lot of sense. That's what happens when you do drugs. It's a choice. Where are you going to spend eternity? It's a choice. It's all a choice. But as we spoke a few weeks ago, life really here cannot be heaven on earth. Just heaven isn't heaven. Now there could be moments, be part of it. But you got to understand the holistic element of the scripture. John 16:33 says, because you don't want to be living in a false world. John 16:33 says, in this world you're going to have difficulties. You're going to have frustrations. You're going to have trials. You're going to have problems. But then he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's our faith. What is that? It's our trust. And I'm not asking you to sort of live in a bubble and ignore everything that's going around you till someday you get to heaven. That's the church I grew up in as a little kid. We used to sing songs like, Hold the Fort for I Am Coming. What the heck is that? That's really bad. Oh, Jesus, get us out of here. We're just suffering for Jesus. Give me a break. We're called to live here. Somebody wake up, get up to Walmart, walk down the aisle with a smile on your face, singing a tune. You know what? You're going to attract a crowd. They may call security on you, but when they do, witness to them. Tell them how good God is. They say, what are you so happy about? Jesus is Lord. Glory. Ooh, hallelujah. They run from you. You want to have some fun sometime? Go to McDonald's. When you're standing in line, turn to the person behind you and say, did you know I'm an alien being? See, we're in this world. We're not from this. When you get saved, when you become born again, you transfer your address. You transfer your residence to heaven. You should have a little card that says, that's my new address. I'm an alien being. Now, what's going to happen to you is they're going to get curious and ask you to share with them what you mean by that, or they're going to get out of the line and you're going to be able to move up. So either way, you're going to win. It's a good deal. But guys, I don't know if you've ever heard this before. Here's a new slogan. We should capture this for our church. Life is for living. Wouldn't that be a good slogan for our church? We should capture that. Life is for living. Let's live. Let's choose. I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. Here it is. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 should come up. Today I've given you the choice. Life, death, blessing, curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so you and your descendants would live. Impacts not only us, but others, doesn't it? Today, if you're here, you've never made that initial choice. Or perhaps you're here today and you have wandered off course. I will encourage you to make a choice and come back on course. Make a choice. Did you make a choice? We love to pray this prayer. We pray it every week. It's called a believer's prayer. Would you join with me and pray this prayer? If you've already prayed it, you'll love praying it again, won't you? But if you've never prayed it before, or if you haven't prayed it in a way that really is giving you that commitment to know this is really a choice, one of those decisions that I'm not going to back off of, we'd love to pray with you after the service. We'll be up here, some of our staff, some of our life group leaders. Encourage you to come back on Monday night. Go to our website, contact us, let us be in touch with you. But join us in this great prayer. You can have your eyes wide open and look straight ahead. You can bow your head, close your eyes, whatever works for you. But pray it from your heart. God's word says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you will be saved. He came to earth, the Son of God, because he loves you so much. Gave all your sins. You're forgiven. Isn't that good news? I'm forgiven. Would you pray with me? Say, Father, I love you, and I know you love me. Thank you for giving me life, for giving me of my sins. Today, I receive Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, as my Lord, as my Savior. Thank you, Lord.